Praise the Lord, family, and welcome to the Gift of Life show. I am so glad that you joined us. I'm just so excited. I just got to give a quick testimony before I get into the show. But, you know, I just want you to know, last night we went to go visit a friend of ours in a rehab place. And unbeknownst to us, we were prepared and ready, but not for this. Make a long story short, she had another friend that came. And all I can say is that we had church. That's all I can say. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it was like the fellowship of the believers was alive. We were very spontaneous. The Lord was just moving in powerful ways, and we were just edifying and building one another up. And I just praise the Lord for that, that we had the freedom to just bless the Lord and speak forth the word of God to one another and just pray for one another. Prophecy was proclaimed, and it was just an exciting time. In a public place, we were able to have that freedom. And it made me think about in Acts 2, you know how it said that they continued in the steadfast in the word, you know, the birthing of the church, and like 3,000 souls were saved. And then it said that God was adding, had favor on those people, and he was just adding daily to the church, which is the called out ones, which is not the building. It's the people where God lives on the inside of you through the power of the Holy Spirit and because of his son. So that's what happened last night. We were there like 4 hours and getting ready to leave, thought we'd be in and out, but God had other plans, and I'm so glad we responded accordingly. It was just such a blessing. So I just want to encourage you, no matter where you go, just know that you are that light, that God lives in you if you are a born-again believer, and he wants to shine that light. So be prepared. And one of the ways that you can be prepared is, I love this verse in Proverbs. It says, I'll start with verse 4-7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And all you're getting understanding. I love that. My daughter and I, we're going to go ahead and memorize together Proverbs chapter 2, all about wisdom. And you can join us too if you want to. But I love this verse too, in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5. Because this is what I see that I'm doing personally. And this is what I'm encouraging others and you to do as a teacher and a coach of the Word of God. Counsel in the heart of a person is like deep water, but a person of understanding will draw it out. Basically talking about how fearfully and wonderfully we are made. The treasure that God has put on the inside of us and the mind that he's given us to be able to dig in his word, his living word, which is God's word, which is Christ, the living word, the living bread from life, to dig in and follow him and watch him develop who he wants us to be. I love this other verse in Isaiah 55. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways are your ways, says the Lord. For as high as the heavens, For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. But he just wants us to know that, you know, this is deep stuff. We're talking about the true and living God that came to seek and save the lost. And so, speaking of lost, I'm going right on into my third episode on the prodigal son. I love this story, this parable. I'm telling you, the more I'm reading it and studying about it, the more I'm gleaning from it. And I want you to know, but this parable of the prodigal son, hey, it's not like a warm, fuzzy, kind of like feel good message. It's just not. It's powerful. It's got many, many emotions and characters in it, but it's like a wake up call. It really is. It's a wake up call, and it has a very, very important message for those of you who think that everything is okay while I'm out here doing my own thing. And that God's forgiving and he won't do this and he loves me and I can still go on and do what I want to do and be this prodigal daughter, or this prodigal son, or this prodigal person. That's not the case when you really get into this story. It's really, really focusing not just on, remember there's two sons in here, but both sons, if you look at it, I see both sons as being prodigal. But the one that I think that really was the prodigal son, really rebellious, wasting, and being bitter and angry, was the second son, the oldest son. So if you've been following along, you can go to www.lovebyexample.com. And I'm on number 3. This is prodigal son number 3. And I've numbered them so you can follow along with me. I've talked about already what the word prodigal meant. You need to go back and look at that. We looked at verses, we start with verse 12. Acts 11 and 12 and 13 and 14. And we looked at that. And now I'm going to begin in verse 17 of Luke chapter 15. And we looked in last time on the number two, we looked at the unfolding of the meaning of the parable. And so we just kind of did a quick overview of that to get an understanding of that. We saw that this particular son, the youngest son, wanted his stuff from God, from the father, his inheritance, and basically said, I'm just going to leave you for dead. You know, I'm going to treat you as if you don't even exist. Just give me my stuff. I'm not going to wait for you to die, and I'm out of here. And so the father granted him that wish, but I did talk about a little bit that in those times, that was an unheard of thing. If something like that happened to a father, where his son demanded his inheritance before he died, he was basically telling his dad, I wish you were dead. Give me mine. But the response could have been two things. I found this out. It could have been a public slap right across that son's face in public. No matter where he said this, he would have slapped him across his face. And he would do that to show the horribleness of this disrespect that this son had towards his dad, how he was dishonoring his family and his dad. Or the other one would be to disown you. If you did something like that in that culture, you were disowned and almost treated as if you weren't even part of the family. And if you did want to come back to the family, if you did want to repent and come back, you lost a lot. You wouldn't probably get the inheritance that was granted to you had you to stay there. So this was a big deal that this son was demanding his inheritance so he could go and waste it, be prodigal with it, and embarrass his family, embarrass his father, embarrassing his brother. I mean, this was a big deal to do something like this to an honorable father. So that's what we talked about briefly last time. Now this time, we're going to go ahead and start with verse 17. And let me read the whole thing, and then I'll stop and we'll emphasize. And I talked about, emphasize 17, I talked about, this is a story, parable about three lost things. The lost sheep, remember? But Jesus said in this story, hey, I'll leave the 99 and go find this one. I mean, this is just awesome. And then the lost coin, it's where this woman was sweeping the house and she lost the coin, but then she finds it. And she rejoices because she found this coin, and then the lost son. But the first two, the person that lost something goes and seeks it. But in this story, the father doesn't seek the son. The son seeks the father. It's just beautiful. Let me just read in verse 11. Then he said, this is Jesus, a certain man had two sons, and the younger son of them said, Father, give me my portion of goods that fall to me. So he divided them, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all there was, arose a famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field and fed on the swines, fed what the pigs were eating. And he would gladly would have filled his stomach eating the pods of the swine, and no one gave him anything. So all his friends and everything's gone now, okay? He's gone. And that's what we talked about last time. If you need to go back and do a little more study on that, just go to my number two tape or series, and I go in more detail. But Jesus is basically showing us that this son begins now in verse 17 to reflect on the condition of his situation, of his position. And he's realizing his eyes are beginning to open up in this deep, horrible place. His eyes is beginning to open up, and he's realizing that even his father's servants had it better than he did. And his painful situation and circumstances is helping him to see his father in a new light and seeing himself in a new light. Look what it says in 17. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? You know, I love this. When you look at the different versions, it uses the word sometimes, he came to a senses. Now look at this. I love that word senses. Senses is just basically talking about the intellect. He's coming to the realization. He's thinking. He's doing some deep, serious thinking. But I love this because look what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26. Actually, it starts with 24 to 26, but I'm just going to read 26. It says, "And that they may come to their senses and escape the snares of the devil, having been taken captive to do his will." See, the prodigal son was deep in sin. The enemy had tricked him, had deceived him, made him greedy, made him dishonor his family, take his goods, and take off. And after everything was gone, after he wasted everything, look at where he ended up, in the pig's mess. And so, and being in a pig's den, eating after a pig, that was the worst thing you could do if you were a Jewish family at that time. So that, I mean, this man went as low as you can go. And I love Hebrews chapter 5. Look what it says, verse 14, about the word senses. "But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and bad." This prodigal son had not exercised his position and his senses of who he really was and whose home he was in. He didn't recognize that. He believed the lies of the enemy, just like, and I mentioned this, I'm going to always probably go back to it because it's so important, just like Adam and Eve, and just like Cain. And Adam, I've already mentioned this with Adam. In Adam chapter 3, after Adam rejected the Father's command that said, don't eat that tree, but you can have all these others. You know, the Father told him, he prohibited him from doing that, but he chose, made this decision to do it his own way, and then sin, which came from Satan. When Satan speaks, he's the father of lies. Sin is his ally to get you to do wrong. Comes from his voice, comes from his words, because his very nature, John 8:44, is pure evil. That's what I told somebody today. He's pure evil. So when he speaks lies, John 8:44. So Adam believed, Eve believed, and verse 10 says, "So he said," this is God said, I mean, this is Adam saying, "So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." So he heard the word of God, but he made a choice, the wrong choice. And then fear came in. That's not coming from God, because the fear of the Lord is a healthy fear. This is a fear of guilt and shame. And then he hid himself. He was naked and hid himself. And then the next thing, his offspring, Cain, he's angry now because he wants to do it his way. He wants to take his stuff and just throw anything to God and let me have mine and forget what you think about me, God. I forget what I think about you. I'm going to do it my way. And so I should have good consequences, right? No, wrong. So God comes to him. This is just beautiful. God is talking to him. God says, "Listen, why are you so angry? And why has your countenance fallen?" See, when you're angry and bitter and resentful, when you're fearful and depressed, it affects your brain and your body. It can actually be seen through you. People can see when you really are not happy or joyful in the Lord, let alone if you speak it out. And it messes with you. It's toxic. It causes toxicity in your body and in your brain. I learned this from my coach, Dr. Leaf, that 75 to 98% of all mental and spiritual and physical illnesses come from the thought life. And where does that illness come from? Satan. Satan and us believing his lies. But God said in Deuteronomy 30:19, "I've given you life and death, blessings and cursing. Choose life so you and your family can live." He said in John 10:10, "I have come to give you life and life more abundantly." That's what Jesus said. But look what it says right here. God says, "If you do well," in other words, "you do it my way," God says, "will not you be accepted?" That means you'll be all right. "And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must rule over it." See, we have the power to rule over sin. We really do. If you are a born-again believer, we have the power to rule over sin. I want to read this to you. When believers don't understand this, when this prodigal son didn't understand this, see what he was basically doing. I love this verse in Galatians. He was allowing the enemy to bite the hand that was feeding him. Really. I mean, he was biting his father's hand that was feeding him. Because look what happened when he left. And look what it says in Galatians 5:15. This is Paul saying, "But if you bite and devour," one another. Look at this. Be aware, lest you be consumed by one another. See, that's what sin does. It enslaves you. It tricks you to make you think it's okay to do what you're doing, and that, you know, you have no regard for anybody else, and you lose. You just lose when you live like that, and there's just no way around it. And this is what happened to this man, this young boy. He was in bondage to sin, and there was no way out for him. Isn't that something? So let's go on now. So it says that, in my notes here, it says he began to reflect and see things a little bit different. And you know what? This is reflective of the sinner or the carnal Christian when they discover that they are in a horrible situation and condition in their lives. And they realize it's because of their choices. They stop blaming other people. They stop looking for people they can blame, or they just realize, look, I'm making these choices. This is me that's doing this. And I don't need to continue on this road, that I can choose to make a choice. And so this is what's happening to this son in verse 17. He's coming to this awareness, and he realizes there's no hope without God. And so this is when a repented sinner, the word repent, it means to change the way you think. So he's beginning to go through this changing process of his thought life, and he's coming to his senses. So he begins to devise a plan of action. And though it was a quick glance, I just believe it was a quick glance and a quick thought that came to him when he began to see all these different things happening to him, that his motivation begin to change. And I don't believe it was just because he was hungry, although I'm sure that had a big effect on it. But I believe he began to see how he had willingly given up his position, his father's rights as being his son. And look at where he was now, in the pig's den, eating slop, when he had everything at the father's house. We'll see that earlier when he says, you always had everything here. So he realizes that he had no right. He realized he had no right to leave, no right to ask for his inheritance. And he knew that if he went back, he really didn't have a right to return and ask the father to bring him back in the position that he was. Because look what he said in verse 18. Here's his plan. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven. Look at that. And before you, 19, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Look what he says. Make me like one of your hired hands. So he begins to see, look, if I get to go back, and I hope I get to go back, he says, I don't even deserve to be called his son. He says, I deserve, because he realizes now what he had done. He says, but I'm going to go back, and he's taking a chance here. I'm going to go back with this changed mind. And he didn't just say it. See, that's another thing I say. He didn't just say it. He actually did something about it. It wasn't just based on what he said, but he was willing to do whatever it took to act on what he believed he had done wrong in his heart. He realized that he had no right to have the claims of the blessings upon him to be returned to his father as his son, nor even in the household. Or does he have anything to offer? He didn't have anything to give him back. He squandered everything. He threw it all away, except for what? A life of service. I'll just go back and act like a slave. In repentance of his previous actions, he says, this is what I'll do. So you can tell he was sorry. You could tell he was really repentant and willing to do whatever it took just to come back, because anything was better than where he was at. And he knew his father hopefully would receive him. With that, he is prepared to fall at his father's feet and hope for forgiveness. Oh my gosh, and mercy. And you know what? This is exactly what salvation is all about. It really is. This is a beautiful picture of salvation and the Father's love. You know, it's when you come to your senses. When I came to my senses, you know, and understood that I was messed up. I mean, when I think about the different things that God delivered me from, and over again, But then I finally got sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I cried out to God 30-some years ago, 1984. I cried out to God. And I needed him. My life and my four children, I was a single parent, was in a mess. And I just cried out to God to deliver me, to save me from myself. And you know what? He did. And from that time on, he began to take off my old, what I trusted in was my old karate armor. He began to take off that old armor and gave me his armor, the very armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. That's why I love the whole book of Ephesians. And then he quickly put me in Romans 6. Helped me to begin to memorize that, to understand how dead I really was. And that was my beginning. But then as I went and moved on, I got double-minded. I got sidetracked. I was still focusing on the Lord going forward. But, oh, I messed up so many times because I didn't understand in Romans 7 how to close that rear door between my ears, the thought life. And this is why I talk about the thought life. It's so important. Like this son, he began to repent. He began to change the way he was thinking. Isn't that something? He began to change the way he was thinking. And so this is what God wants us to do all the time, even after we're born again. Even after we're born again, we still have to keep changing the way we think. Because even though we're perfect in Christ Jesus, even though we have the brand new nature and old things have passed away, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that that's happened. But guess what? We still have got to learn to change the way we think. And that's why it says in Romans chapter 12 that we're to cast down all those toxic thoughts. We're to cast down those toxic thoughts, those remaining memories of the past, that guilt and shame. We're to cast that stuff down in Jesus' name, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 5, and renew our mind, Romans 12, 2. And when we're doing that, that's when that third P kicks in, that sanctification. That's what performing is sanctifying yourself, setting yourself apart every day in the Word of God, digging in the Scriptures like I opened up in Proverbs chapter 25, digging in the Scriptures daily, hanging around other people, being prepared and ready like we were prepared and ready last night, not for all what we saw and we experienced, but we were ready. We came in there with our tracks and everything to bless somebody. We brought food and soup and all kinds of good stuff. But then God blessed us even more by bringing other believers in so we could praise the Lord and be edified in the Spirit. It was just beautiful. So brothers and sisters, this is what we got to learn to do. And I believe this prodigal story about this prodigal son, as we keep moving into this, we're going to see the progression of how this son began to change the way he thought. And change the way he looked at his father, the way he looked at his self, and most of all, the way he looked at his brother too. And this is now this is the third series, the third show I did on the prodigal. Where I'm trying to go slow so you can get the flow of it. But if you haven't read this story in a long time, you know, read it. Go through it and read it and do some study on it and, you know, get more information on it. Because I believe out of all the parables in the Scriptures, because Jesus said in Mark that if you understand this parable about the sower and the seeds, then you're going to understand all the other parables. So understand that Matthew 13 about the sower and the seeds, and then get into the parables, the stories of Jesus. They are beautiful. I'm learning to appreciate them a lot more than I ever have. Because I haven't really been digging in them. I've just started doing this in the last maybe of this year or last year. And being consistent. Now, I don't want to say I've never read them, but I mean really applying them and seeing how they relate to me. So this story is telling me to stay repentant. Stay keeping my mind being renewed on the Word of God. And repent. When you do something wrong, you know, don't try to be like Adam and hide it or ignore it or argue with God and lie like Cain did. Admit it. And repent, because he's already forgiven us in Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? Hey, I got to go. I got a song here. I think it's really neat. It's by the Prodigal. It's called Let God Handle It. It's kind of rappy and hip-hoppy, but I like hip-hop good music. Our daughter's kind of a hip-hop good music woman. But this is by the Prodigal, and it's called Let God Handle That. So I want to encourage you to listen to the song. Thank you for listening to us, and we love you, and just know that God is waiting for the prodigal. He loves you with the everlasting love, so God bless you.
'2004, sanctified hip-hop music. You got got to watch for that devil. He always trying to sneak up on you. He always on the attack. The devil ride your back. Let God handle that. Let God handle that. Let God handle that. Your love start to attack. Let God handle that. Let God handle that. Let God handle that. You walk in the wrong track. Let God handle that. Let God handle that. Let God handle that. If you ready to turn back, let God handle that. Let God handle that. Let God handle that. Look to the Lord. Give your life to God. Glory be to God. He got your back when times hard. All you got to do is pray and live another day. The Lord will start washing all your evil sins away. I love Jesus Christ. He gave me my life. I got up out them streets and I ain't never going by. You got to pay a price for living an evil life. Repent for your sins and this time get it right. It's going on everywhere. Spiritual warfare. When the enemy coming, you got to be aware. He got you living in the dark, thinking you so hard. On the straight path, headed for the graveyard. But you can still change, just call on his name. Rebuke the enemy, cause he the master of game. You away from your lane, which caused you the pain. The Lord Jesus Christ, he in control of everything. The devil ride your back, let God handle that. Let God handle that, let God handle that. Your lust start to attack, let God handle that. Let God handle that, let God handle that. You walk in the wrong track, let God handle that. Second verse all about lust. Lust. That's another way the enemy like to try us. Running after beautiful women with big butts. She could be a Christian, you messing her life up. Another type of lust is thinking it with your mind. People think it's fine, but they sinning all the time. Speaking it out your mouth or lusting with your heart. When the time comes, you gon' have to answer God. Another type of lust is the lust of the world. Material things, fast cars and pearls. Like it ruled the world, corrupt in the minds of these boys and girls. I'm just keeping it real, you got to change yourself. Live for the Lord, cause he gave you breath. You gotta stay strong and keep pressing on. Put your trust in the Lord and you gon' live long. Just hold on. The devil ride your back, let God handle that. Let God handle that. Let God handle that. Your love start to attack, let God handle that. Let God handle that. Let God handle that.
Stop thinking, you can stop doing.